I'm reading from the prophet Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This ends the reading. When the American movie industry released its top 10 movies of 2015, my favorite movie was on the list. No, it was not Star Wars. I liked Star Wars, but that was not my favorite movie. I thought the most original, funny, and heartwarming movie last year was an animated movie called Inside Out. How many of you, by the show of hands, have seen the movie Inside Out? All right, way more than the first service. I think I had two. I told Diane earlier that when I write these sermons, there is a service in mind that I am thinking about, and I definitely was thinking about Spirit Fire service. This will be a child-friendly sermon. I know they're here today, so. Inside Out is about, if you haven't seen the movie, Inside Out is about a preteen girl. Her name is Riley. At the beginning of the movie, Riley's life is great. Her family life is stable. She enjoys her friends at school, and she excels at playing hockey. At age 11, however, Riley and her family move from Minnesota to San Francisco. This move to San Francisco requires Riley to make a huge emotional adjustment. The audience gets to witness this adjustment as our perspective moves from the things outside in Riley's world to the emotions inside her mind. In her mind, Riley's emotions are personified. They interact with each other over a control console. Since the children are staying with us in worship, I wanted to get them involved in helping me with the sermon, so I will need 5 volunteers to come up. Just make a line right here. I need 5. If I have more, that's okay. We'll do our best. Okay, that's good. Come on up. Okay. I'm going to ask you to say your name into my microphone, and I'm going to ask you if you know who the character is. So tell me your name. I know most of your names. Come on over. Chesney, come on up. Chesney, I know you. That's not... What's your name?
Chesney.
Chesney. Chesney, do you know who this is?
Joy.
This is Chesney. Chesney, can you take Joy? And not everybody knows who Joy is. I want you to walk down to the church down there and come back. Hold up your sign real high. Okay. Good job. The next two, tell me your names.
McKenna.
And what's your name?
Benny.
Benny. Do you know who this is?
Sadness.
This is Sadness. Okay, Benny and McKenna, can you walk Sadness down to the church? Show everybody. What's your name?
Paulina.
Paulina. Paulina, do you know who this is?
Disgust.
Disgust. This is Disgust. Okay, take Disgust and walk down to the church. Make sure everybody sees her. Okay. And I know you. What's your name?
Cameron.
Cameron, and what's your name?
Aiden.
Aiden. Do you know who this is?
Fear.
Fear. Can you walk, you two guys, walk down to the church? Hold him up high.
Tell me your name.
Olivia.
Miss Olivia. Do you know who this is?
Anger.
Anger. take anger, hold him up high, down to the church and come back. Now you hold on to your sign just for a second. We're not quite done yet. I'm going to say the names one more time. When I say the names, you hold them up high. Right now, hold them low. Okay? Here we go. Everybody has met the five emotions in Riley's mind. Okay, listen, please. When joy, hold up joy high. Hold up joy. Oh, nope, that's fear. This is joy. When joy is at the control console of Riley's mind, Riley is happy with her family. Okay, put joy back down. When sadness, hold up sadness, is at the control console, Riley begins to cry in school. Okay, put sadness back down. Disgust, who's got disgust? Hold up. When disgust is at the control console, Riley shows little interest in her hobbies. We'll put her back down. Fear. Who's got fear? When fear is at the control console, Riley withdraws from her family. Good job. We'll put that one down. Lastly, when anger is at the control console, Riley gets upset with her new surroundings and runs away from home. Thank you, children. Can you put your signs back down here for me? And let's give them a hand. Children can have a seat with your families. Good job. What great helpers today. Now I know you all want to go see that movie. The movie Inside Out does well at showing how people live inside out. What we are feeling on the inside comes out through our words and behaviors. What is inside comes out, inside out. Anne Lamott is a Christian author who affirms this understanding of human behavior. In her book, Help, Thanks, Wow, Three Essential Prayers, Anne writes in the chapter on thanks, gratitude comes from the inside out. Gratitude begins in our hearts, and then it ducktails into our behaviors. Gratitude takes over our lives and then takes expression in ways to give back in thanks for all we have been given in life, in love, and in relationships. I appreciate Miss Lamont's thoughtfulness in her writing, and I agree that we can measure our gratitude on the inside by how much we show our appreciation for others on the outside. Words of appreciation and acts of kindness are a good indicator on the level of gratitude we feel on the inside. We see it in the movies. We heard it in the song. We read it in books. We know from personal experience that this is true. Our feelings are expressed in the ways that we speak and act. We live inside out. On this Epiphany Sunday, I want to suggest that God gives us a new paradigm from which we can learn to live by. It is human nature to act emotionally from the inside out. However, I think God also wants us to live from the outside in. The problem that I see with only living from the inside out is that we limit ourselves to our own emotional reserves. Regardless of what anybody says or does, even the best of us have emotional limitations. How many times have you stayed up half the night worried about a problem? How many times has an emotion consumed your every thought, leaving you feeling distracted from other important responsibilities? Those who struggle on the inside can run into trouble if they seek emotional relief from drugs, approval from others, or harshly criticizing others to make themselves feel better. It makes me sad when I see on the news how people let their emotions get the best of them, and a costly, life-changing mistake is made. Ultimately, nothing in this world can bring emotional healing. Emotional healing can only come from the outside in. Emotional healing begins when we ask God for help. Emotional healing begins when we allow God's grace to transform our hearts and minds from the outside in. Then we can live in a healthy way from the inside out. Further, after we ask for God's help, it is important to have good Christian friends in whom one can confidentially share. How do we live from the outside in? I think we can learn a lot about living from the outside in by looking deeper into the Christmas story. The Christmas story begins long before Mary and Joseph. Centuries earlier, the prophet Isaiah gives witness to God drawing the nations to the brightness of God's people. Isaiah tells of God drawing those who are outside in. Then on Christmas night, the shepherds were out in their fields by night when they hear the angel's message of good news. God welcomes the shepherds into the presence of Christ. God welcomes those who are outside in. Later on, the wise men from the east find the truth of an ancient prophecy foretold in the Bethlehem star. The star guides the wise men to the place of Jesus' birth. God guides those who are outside in. I like the story of the wise men for a phrase that Matthew uses in his gospel. Matthew writes, "The wise men were overwhelmed with joy." Now, which of these three things do you think overwhelmed the wise men with joy? Number one, finally arriving in Bethlehem at the home of the Holy Family. Number two, being able to kneel in worship before Jesus. Or number three, feeling blessed, presenting their gifts to the newborn king. Which of those three overwhelmed the wise men with joy? All of the above. I couldn't pick one. All of them. And do you see that? It wasn't anything they did or felt. What they felt, that joy that they felt, was God acting with them. Their joy came from the outside in. I knew a woman who understood the importance of taking what was outside in. Julia Delaney died a few years ago. At her service, I reminded everybody of her delicious applesauce. Her son wanted me to say that eating her applesauce was like receiving Christ into your life. People could not fully appreciate how good her applesauce was until they took a bite. I will admit I never tried it, but I am told that when you walked into the kitchen, the smell of applesauce made you very hungry, and that's all you wanted to do was taste it. But they didn't fully understand how good it was until they took a bite. That's how the sense of taste is different from the other senses. I can see you, but I'm not taking you inside of myself. But for the sense of taste, you have to actually take what is outside and put it inside of your mouth. The psalmist puts it this way. He says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Holy Communion is a vivid reminder of how important it is to take what is outside in. "Taste and see that the Lord is good" is best experienced at the Lord's table, which you will celebrate in just a few minutes. When we receive Christ into our lives, then we will know the full blessings he brings. I'm wondering if Olivia could help me one more time. Is Olivia over there? Can you help me, Olivia? Can you hold them up when I ask? Hold that one up. If you are experiencing feelings of joy, let the outside in. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay, you can put that one down. Hold it up high. If you are experiencing feelings of sadness, let the outside in. Matthew 5, verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." If you are experiencing feelings of disgust with yourself or with others, let the outside in. Galatians 6, verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." If you are experiencing feelings of fear, let the outside in. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." One more. And if you are experiencing feelings of anger, let the outside in. Ephesians 4, verse 26 says, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." And 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, "Love is not easily angered." Thank you, Olivia. On this Epiphany Sunday, I invite you to allow the outside in. God is drawing those who are outside into the presence of Christ. God is drawing those who are outside into His grace. God is drawing those who are outside into the fellowship of the church. It is human nature to live from the inside out. Let us also be a church who, by the grace of God, lives from the outside in. Amen.